In Chicago, you know that all sports rock. The Bears, Hawks, Bulls, Cubs, and Sox. Pick your favorite, you can choose. As long as the Packers lose. For everything you need to know, it's Bill Swarski Sports Talk Chicago. Bill Swarski Sports Talk Chicago.
Hey everybody, welcome to another edition of Bill Swarovski Sports Talk Chicago. This is your hosts, Alex and Sean. On this episode, we're going to be talking about a little Bears off season, some Bulls, some Blackhawks, a little baseball. But first, I'd like to thank our sponsor, the Rockford IceHogs. If you're not familiar with the Rockford IceHogs, they're the AHL minor league affiliate of the Chicago Blackhawks. What does that mean for you? You could see the stars of tomorrow today at family-friendly, affordable prices. Season is going on right now, so head on over to icehogs.com, get yourself a hat, shirt, jersey, tickets, and more. Tell them Swarovski Sports sent you. Alex, my friend, how are you doing today?
Doing pretty well. Nice weather today. I was actually by Wrigley Field today for a little bit.
Oh, nice.
So that was kind of cool. Yeah. The weather was really nice for this time of year. And I mean, considering the fact that we had negative chills not too long ago, not going to complain. And also not complaining about actually getting sunshine because the overcast was killer.
Yeah. It was nice having a little sun and, you know, the weather hit what, 45 today?
Yeah. Low mid 40s. So combine that with sun, pretty comfortable for this time of year.
Oh yeah. I mean, you know, this is Chicago. We're used to February. You could have a foot of snow or more.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's supposed to hit Thursday. It's supposed to hit almost 60.
That's crazy. I knew it was supposed to get into like the 50s. I didn't know it was going to be that high. So that's, I'll welcome that.
Yeah. Going to be high of 59 on Thursday.
Mother Nature is celebrating the approaching of pitchers and catchers reporting, obviously.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think we all are.
Yeah, we need it. Seriously. We just need some baseball in our lives. I mean, we need to see that light at the end of the tunnel when it comes to this kind of weather and just a change of pace from current sports because, my God, it's depressing.
Yeah. I mean, you want to talk baseball here since we're
sure. On? Why not? Why not?
So as you said, we're just days away from pitchers and catchers reporting. The Cubs, the pitchers and catchers report on Valentine's Day, which, what is that, 10 days?
Yeah, it's coming up.
And then the full squad reports 5 days later, and their first game is on February 23rd against the White Sox.
Yeah, it's coming fast, and it's crazy because that feels early, but hey, it's just coming quick.
Yeah. The Cubs or the White Sox actually had some moves.
You know, it's funny, like they've been making a lot of moves. I'm not saying they're picking up the top free agents, but they're making a lot of moves, though. This weekend, they made a couple of trades that kind of make you go, huh, okay, interesting. And not necessarily in a bad way. Some interesting moves. I mean, I don't know how effective Chris Getz is going to be. I think that there's not a lot of trust in him right now, but I do feel like he deserves a chance here. And I do feel like he's pretty self-aware of the fact that there needs to be a lot of change here because he's not really just letting it all run itself back. I mean, sure, we can debate about what they should do with Dylan Cease. And, you know, that's a scenario where it takes two to tango. But, you know, Chris Getz has made a lot of moves here and, you know, a lot of them are just fillers for a retool rebuilding season, but the trades they made this weekend are kind of interesting.
Yeah. I mean, so one is they got Dominic Fletcher from Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And Dominic Fletcher is a pretty decent prospect. He had a cup of coffee in the bigs this year. Got when it's in 28 games, had 100 or 93 at bats, and finish with a slash line of 301, 350, 441 with an OPS of 791. And two home runs. You know, that's and but the problem was is that Arizona, he's an outfielder. Arizona, that's a blocked path for them.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it was really you had a prospect that was stuck, and the White Sox capitalized on that. And
yeah, and I think that the Diamondbacks wanted like a pitching type, and they wanted a hitting type. The White Sox did. So yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So that worked out, you know, and the likelihood of him of Fletcher playing in on opening day, I would assume that assuming he has even a decent spring training, it's a good likelihood that he's going to be in the mix for the starting one of the starting outfield spots.
Yeah, you would think. I mean, he's got to be. It's because, you know, that area has been really scarce for a while. I mean, you've had a rotation of guys, and you know, at least now you're rotating guys in who you know can play the position. And you think, okay, maybe he has a future here. You know, it's not like you're plugging in Andrew Vaughn or you're going with Gavin Sheets again, because I think that you got to kind of move on from the Gavin Sheets type experiment here. I mean, and sure, you know, there's still some mystery here, but I think there's a lot more upside with this move than other moves that could have been made here.
Yeah, I mean, so this one makes a lot of sense for the White Sox. And the pitcher they gave up, I mean, last year he pitched, he had a split season between AA and AAA. And in AA, he had a 4.66 ERA and a 7-6 record. And in AAA, he was 1-1 with a 5.95 ERA. So, I mean, he's only 21, but that seems like a no-brainer trade for the White Sox.
I mean, you're not trading Dylan Cease for this or your top pitching prospect for this. He was like what, their ninth or tenth ranked prospect, something like that.
Yeah, and so I call this basically you're trading away a lottery ticket for a guy who played in the bigs last year and can fill a spot for you. So I like that move for the White Sox. You know, that's a decent move. And then in the other move, the White Sox traded with the Mariners, and so they gave the Mariners Gregory Santos in exchange for Prelander Borrero, outfielder Zach Deloche, and a 2024 competitive balance round B pick, number 69 overall.
For a second, I thought that said Zach LaRoche. I'm like, wait, what? Is there another LaRoche around here?
Is he bringing his son around?
Yeah, hopefully not.
Yeah, this one is one I don't know a ton about. I, you know, this one I'm not sure about.
You know, Gregory Santos was a good reliever last year, and he's got a lot of years of control. But if you are a team in transition, I think it's kind of good that you're selling high on a reliever because of how fickle relievers can be. So you're taking advantage of value you have now, going into a season where you're not expected to be a top World Series contender.
Yeah, let's see. Borrero was the 15th prospect in the Seattle system. And in 2022, he had a 2.86 ERA in high A and double A. And they moved him to a bullpen arm. And he had almost a 37% strikeout rate and a 2.89 ERA as a bullpen guy. So it seems like they're just trying to go even younger and go to the future.
Yeah, and my understanding with him is that he's got great stuff. It's just the control is what needs a little more improving.
Yeah, and then Deloche, he was the second round pick in 2020 of Seattle, and last year he's a right fielder. He slashed 286, 387, 481 in AAA, and a 111 WRC plus. So, I mean, again, that seems like it's another guy who is probably close to being ready to play in the majors. So they're trying to cheaply find outfield help.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know, who's that third outfielder? And that's been a problem for how long for the White Sox?
Long time.
I saw somebody joke that Fletcher in his 93 at bats last year had a higher ERA or a higher WAR than anybody else in right field for the White Sox last year.
Oof.
I don't know if it's true, but it did make me chuckle.
I mean, it's believable, right?
Yeah, it's just been a revolving door of.
I mean, Oscar Colas spent a lot of time last year in right, wasn't he? And he was a negative WAR.
Yeah, I mean, it's White Sox in that right field spot is kind of like a defense against the dark arts teacher at Hogwarts.
It really is. And it seems like there were a lot of chances to easily fix it, but the Sox are like, nah, we'll put Andrew Vaughn out there. We'll put Gavin Sheets out there. We'll put, you know, Oscar Colas out there. I mean, obviously Oscar Colas plays out there, but I think there was a lot of hope that he was going to be, you know, a big league contributor, and maybe he will in the future. He's not that old. He was once a high touted prospect, but you know, last year is his rookie year just didn't go nearly as well as people hoped.
It makes me feel like these two trades tell you something about what the new front office thinks about Oscar Colas.
I mean, yeah, it's, you know, if he was still like a prime prospect, you wouldn't think that you would be finding a bunch of replacements, right? You can't help but wonder with that. That's definitely true.
And that pick, that 69th pick in the that they got in the in the competitive balance. I was reading that's going to basically give about $1 million in the prospect pool for the White Sox to play with. So that's nice to be able to draft somebody over slotted.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if the White Sox actually do that, but it does add money into the pool that they can use to try to get a better prospect. So, I don't know. I mean, we'll see how these go, but they are making moves.
Don't forget they signed Kevin Pillar.
Oh, yeah, they did, to a minor league contract. he was with Atlanta last year and this inked a non-roster deal with the Braves last winter and actually made the camp. His slash line last year was pretty bad. 228, 248, 416 in 206 at-bats.
Yeah, I mean, he's 35. He's over the hill at this point, but he's depth, so.
Yeah. But, I mean, again, they are trying the let's throw everything at the wall and see what sticks method of solving right field, because you got Benintendi in left, you got
Luis Robert, yeah,
Lou Bob in center, and then you know it's the guy you got from Seattle, the guy you just got from Arizona, Kevin Pillar, Oscar Colas, Gavin Sheets, and that's a lot of guys trying out for. I mean, you'll probably have two make the squad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. it's one method of trying to solve this.
You know, and there was something I read too about the Sox. I think it was yesterday. There was an article posted. I pardon me, I don't remember who wrote it, but might have been from the Sun Times, but I don't remember exactly. But a lot of White Sox fans were upset, and I can understand why. Basically, what it was trying to say was, hey, maybe the White Sox will do better than you think because some of these players are playing for their careers. And that might be true, but a lot of Sox fans are upset because they're thinking, oh, so now you give a shit, and you know what, who they're referring to.
Yeah.
You know, like guys like Mancada being one of the big ones. And I mean, here's the thing. He's been pretty bad overall the past few years, and he's been injured. You know, he's had injury issues. Last year, second half, he actually played really well. But again, Sox fans are like, well, where the hell was this for the past 2 years when the games mattered? By the time he started raking, the games didn't mean shit. So it will be kind of interesting to see how some of these remaining Han rebuild core guys do next year. I mean, Luis Robert, I think, is still going to be very good. He was very good last year. He's could be even better this year. I think he's a insanely talented player. He's got the talent to be a top player in this game. But is Eloy going to be healthy? And if so, what's he going to produce?
I mean, Eloy's like one of the few people that gets injured as a DH.
Right.
How does that happen? That dude is injury prone, and I don't want to knock him because he's talented. It's just, man, that guy is, his body is frail.
You remember that spat with Tim Anderson and Jose Ramirez? They're freaking showing the brawl, and then out comes Eloy hobbling around like one of the Three Stooges because like he got stepped on, and people are like, are you kidding me?
You don't know what you're gonna get from him or for how long you'll get it for. So yeah, there's a lot of questions, and here's the thing. Is there a path for the White Sox to be a respectable team
next year? This coming year, or in the future?
No, next year. The problem next year, this coming season that we're about to go into spring training for, they just have no pitching.
That's the thing. Their pitching is not looking good. I mean, look at their bullpen right now. John Brebbia is going to be your closer. He's a decent reliever at best, not great. But then I just pulled up their Fangraphs projections. So I'm looking at their bullpen. So Brebbia is your closer. Your setup guys are Tim Hill and Jimmy Lambert. Prelander Baroa is projected to make the team. Deve Garcia, Tuki Toussaint, Shane Drohan, and Garrett Crochet, if he is actually healthy. And how Garrett Crochet is even going to do, your guess is as good as mine. But yeah, I'm not looking at that bullpen thinking, oh boy, that's lights out. And then you look at the rotation. As of now, you got Dylan Cease. We know he's good. Eric Fede, the former Nationals prospect who played in the KBO last year, Michael Kopech, Michael Socorro or Soroka, and Chris Flexen. That's your rotation right there.
I mean, they are trying Garrett Crochet as a starter.
That's what I thought, but
I don't know.
It doesn't. Why?
I don't know how that will actually go.
He's a two pitch pitcher who's barely pitched the past few years. I don't get it.
That's the problem. I mean, if you look, but you look at their fielding, their position players, you're like, okay. I mean, nothing spectacular, but, Yoan plays well. Luis Robert plays well. Eloy's healthy. You know, Benintendi was decent. Andrew Vaughn. That's a pretty decent 1-5.
Yeah, I was going to say.
If everybody plays, it's just you're going to have to score a lot of runs to be competitive.
Yeah, and I mean, here's the thing, too, is they might, if they get some breaks and some of those things you just alluded to go right, like Eloy Jimenez staying on the field, which as of right now, it's hard to say that's going to happen. But if it does, and Yoan Moncada kind of picks off where he was last year in the second half, you get what you get from Luis Robert. Andrew Vaughn gives you what he gave you last year, which is fine numbers, not great numbers, but fine numbers. And if Andrew Benintendi hits like 270 with an OBP around 350, that lineup, it's not anemic. The thing is that you look at other areas. It's like, okay, your catchers are not going to give you any sort of offensive production right now. It's Martin Maldonado and Max Stassi.
And Martin Maldonado is about to be 38 years old.
Yes.
I like Martin Maldonado. It just, he's old.
He's old. Last year, because his defensive metrics throughout his career have been very good, but they're starting to dip. And that's what happens when you're going to be 38 years old. And he's just, he does have some sneaky, okay power, but he's probably not going to hit higher than 200 and have an OBP above, like, I don't know, 280 at the most, at the very most.
Yeah, here's how FanGraphs is projecting their roster. Benintendi in left, batting first. Andrew Vaughn at first, batting second. Lou Bob in center, batting third. Yoan Moncada, third, batting cleanup. Eloy DH, batting fifth. Dominic Fletcher in right, batting sixth. Paul DeJong at short, batting seventh. Nicky Lopez, batting eighth, playing second. And Martin Maldonado catching and batting ninth, with their bench at Max Stassi, Gavin Sheets, Lenin Sosa, and Kevin Pillar. And, you know, you went through their rotation. I mean, I'm sure Touki Toussaint is going to get a shot as a starter.
Yep.
Garrett Crochet, they said, is, seems a little silly, but so I don't know. I mean, maybe they pony up $35 million a year for Blake Snell.
Yeah, sure.
half their salary is Blake Snell.
Yeah, you know, the one that intrigues me, do you remember when Michael Soroka came up with the Braves in like 2018, 2019?
A little bit, yeah.
He was really freaking good. In 2019, he went... Yeah, I mean, he's a highly regarded talent. I mean, 2019, 174 and two-thirds innings. That's 29 starts, 268 ERA, a FIP of 345, and a 4F4. Pretty darn good. Then pitched 13 and two-thirds in 2020, and then hasn't pitched until last year, where he appeared in 32 innings. Numbers obviously not good at all, but he was just coming back from basically missing 2 years. Is he ever going to rebound fully? I don't know. It's hard when you have multiple injuries that are that severe, but I do think there's talent in the guy, and at this rate, you got nothing to lose to see, so maybe he surprises you. I'm not saying he's going to blow the world away, but if you're still on FanGraphs, he's projected to be a 4.55 ERA pitcher, and it's like, okay, that's like a little less than mediocre these days, but like if he gives you like average numbers throughout a season, then maybe that's something. I don't know. It's interesting to see what he's going to do. Are you seeing these projections though for Michael Kopech?
No. How bad are they?
Not good. Let me pull up the full projections because it just gives you some. This is probably, my guess is this is going off Steamer. Okay, so Steamer's a little different, but it's still pretty much. So FanGraphs has a 502 ERA and a 5.19 FIP. Steamer has a 5.2 ERA, 5.35 FIP. Strikeouts per nine, above 8.5. So between like an 8.3 and a 9 between those projections, which is kind of, you know, around where his career numbers are. But projections don't look very good.
So I'm going to bring up something not related to Cubs or Sox, but in the baseball realm, and I'm going to tie it in to the White Sox.
Okay.
I want your honest reaction to the Corbin Burnes trade.
I think that the Orioles got a really dang good deal.
I think so too. I was arguing with somebody. I think it was a, I don't think it was a bad deal on the Brewers' part. I just think it was a meh, a little underwhelming. Thought they would have got more.
Yeah, me too. I mean, just considering, even though he's only got 1 year of control left, I mean, that's a really, really high-end arm. And pitching just costs a premium these days. And I think that it could work out for the Brewers, for them, but I don't see the Orioles regretting one bit making that deal. Like, they're not, they didn't give away any of their top, that farm system is so freaking loaded, and none of their top valued guys went away. I don't think they care about what they gave up, even if it does work decently for Milwaukee.
Yeah, I mean, Ortiz is a fairly high prospect. I think he was like their fifth or sixth rated prospect, maybe seventh, somewhere around there. But he's blocked again. Mm-hmm. He's blocked. So, he's mostly known as a defensive player with potential for some offense. And he's major league ready. So for the Brewers, I guess that makes sense, is you've got two major league ready guys and, a draft pick, and the bullpen guy, the numbers look, he had a cup of coffee in the bigs last year. He played a little bit in AAA, a little bit in rookie ball, and, had, 18 games in the bigs with a 3.26 ERA. So that, I guess they're banking on that upside. But if you're the Orioles, neither of these two guys are one of your high priority farm system guys, and you got a front end rotation, like top of the rotation guy in that division, you need it. And, you know, if the Orioles have a new ownership, so this is good because you get a year for him to get a feel, Burnes to get a feel of the organization, and the organization to get a feel of him, get their finances in order, see if this works out, then, you know, maybe goes to an extension. But you get a year with, you were already a really good team last year, and you add a frontline guy in that division, that goes well, that goes far. So I mean, it's a win now deal for the Orioles, but I don't think they're hurting for whatever they gave up.
No. And I mean, think about it. If Burnes just dominates and you can give him an extension, I mean, that's going to help keep you in contention for years to come, because you have an established, you know, top tier guy right there. So, I mean, I think that was just a slam dunk trade for the Orioles. They didn't have to pay any of their top guys for Dylan Cease. And, you know, you're taking that chance of, hey, we might have him for 1 year, but if he's dazzling us, we can pay him for more. It'll just cost us money at that point. And I mean, the old owner wouldn't have done that, but the new owners could.
Yeah, you have a new ownership. So if, you know, gives them a year to figure out kind of what they want to do. And Burnes is not going to sign an extension because he's a Boris client, but at least it puts you in that, hey, if he liked it there and he had a good experience with the Orioles, they've got the money because they're not paying anybody. So they'll have the money to sign, re-sign him. I mean, it'll have to go into the marketplace. But if, you know, it does go a long way. If the client's like, hey, give me the most money. But if things are close, I'd rather stay in Baltimore because I had a really good experience there and I was comfortable there, you know. That does add something. I mean, you know, we'll talk a little bit about that, you know, when we get to the Cubs. But I want to spin this to the White Sox and the Dylan Cease issue, because Cease, it's pretty evident that he's on the block and they're trying to get rid of him. And right. Obviously, you don't want to give him away. I mean, this would not, if I'm Getz. And this is the trade you offer me for Dylan Cease? Zero interest. Not interested. Sorry.
There's for his years of control, no way.
I mean, it's 2 years of control, essentially. But, yeah.
Still, so you get a that's whole multiple
another,
years.
Oh, yeah. You get another year over what Corbin Burns is. But Corbin Burns had a much better year last year. So those things, I wouldn't say quite equal out, but it does equalize them a little bit, but that just that trade, that return doesn't move me enough to want to move from the best pitcher by a mile on my roster.
Yeah. I mean, and it's clear that they're asking for the moon for him.
And they should.
Cause it was the Braves or some team during like their fan fest or whatever. And they're like, so are you not trading for Dylan Cease? They're like, no, too expensive. So,
I mean, you know, what the things going against them is teams are going to look at that Corbin Burns trade and try to use that a little bit as leverage. Shane Bieber still on the market. There's still free agent pitchers that are available, good free agent pitchers. So you've got a situation where you're not the only game in town. And so I know Bruce Levine is talking about how they're, you know, he expected a trade before opening day. I'm not sure if I see that, because why
seems
would you
less and less people are saying that.
I don't buy that at this point. I still think it gets a little risky for, I mean, this is a gamble, because like I keep saying is if he comes out and pitches the first half and looks awesome, somebody's going to pay you a ton at the deadline.
Yes.
Because you're going to have teams that are desperate for pitching. They're in the hunt and they're like, you know what? We're going for it. And once you know you're close, because everybody thinks they're better than they are before, you know, February 4th, Every team thinks they're better than they are. And then reality hits once the season starts. But those teams that are better than they thought or, you know, are right in this hunt, there's going to be teams that are desperate for pitching. And if he is pitching lights out, you're like, okay, well, it's not a rental. We've got them all next year too. And you're going to pony up. But man, if he gets injured, if he just poops the bed and is just not pitching well, or he's got no run support and, you know, it's, you know, you're pitching, you're trying to pitch longer into games because you got no bullpen and, you know, things just go off the rails because you're on a bad team. Teams are going to be like, nah, not interested. And
right.
The White Sox end up keeping him, and if he doesn't have a good year this year, you're not getting anything for him next year when he will be a rental.
Right, exactly. There's a lot of risks there, and you know, obviously the last thing you want is for him to get hurt in mid-season before they trade him, but it's kind of the balancing act because he could up his value pitching really, really well.
Yeah.
Until the trade deadline if he doesn't get moved by then.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those situations where you as a front office executive need to know your players better than anybody else, and you have an expectation of what Dylan Cease is going to look like that you better feel good about, because that's that's how you're going into the season, carrying him with you.
Right.
And if you feel, hey, we feel confident that this guy is rebounding and he's going to look really good and he's young and controllable for 2 years, all right, then you stay confident. But if you're hesitant, or you're trying to cover up the warts, then you better be willing to negotiate, because you're playing with fire. And that's part of where the White Sox flounder, because they don't have good scouting and they don't have good analytics. Or sorry, they don't have robust analytics. Probably not good either, but they don't have robust analytics. So it's old school eyeballing what they, you know, how they work.
They use the TWTW glasses.
he's got a off the charts on the TWTW. They call up Hawk. Hawk, how do you feeling about this? Playing with my grandson here in Indiana, but he's got the TWTV. I like that. You don't go trading him now.
I like to picture Jerry making Chris Getz take the TWTW glasses, and after he fired Rick and Kenny, he's like, all right, better hand over your TWTW glasses. And Kenny Williams is like, no, not that, anything but that. And he's got him in like a little pouch, and you just see Jerry and Kenny playing tug of war with it. Like, no, they're mine now. No, not my TWTW glasses. No.
He hands them over to Jerry. Jerry hands them to Michael, and Michael gets them out and it starts polishing them off with the disinfecting spray, and then hands the old used glasses over to Chris Getz. These are yours now.
And Chris Getz just
there's only one pair. Don't break them.
If you do, you'll have to tape them back together.
That'll be out of your paycheck.
I kind of like to think the TWTW glasses are taped together like Harry Potter's glasses. Hopefully, though, speaking of all this analytics stuff and how the White Sox evaluate, hopefully some of those other executives that they brought in, like the dude from the Diamondbacks, you know, bring forth some good things to the table and some good. I mean, they made the one trade with the Diamondbacks, and you figure he's got to know him pretty well. So you hope that some of these guys that Chris Getz brought in really help the analytics side of things, coming from other organizations and bringing their knowledge to the table. That's what you hope for.
Yeah. I mean, you did make a trade with Arizona, and you got a guy. I'm sure that this trade came from him. And that's good, because he knows the players that were there. But yeah, I mean, you're gonna, if you are the front office for the White Sox, you're hindered by the fact that your farm system's not super deep. I mean, I guess they've gotten deeper, but your major league roster, the pitching is abysmal. You have very, very limited financial restraints, and you better be able to work your magic with like last year with the Marlins, or anything with Tampa, where they're operating on shoestrings and still winning. Like you have to pull that kind of magic.
Yeah, and you need a lot of prospects to do that. Good prospects.
And the only other real thing going on with the White Sox is that the stadium at the 78. I mean, we had the commissioner of baseball talking about it. This seems like an all systems go here. I'm just curious of the term "no new taxes" was thrown around.
Yeah, we had, wasn't that Father Bush that said that?
Yeah, read my lips. No new
taxes.
I don't know what they mean by that, because what old money are they going to throw towards this? And it seems more and more like Jerry is orchestrating these deals knowing full well he's not paying for this and that he's going to sell the team, that he's going to orchestrate all this. He's going to be able to hand over a baseball team that has no budget, like a fresh slate, a brand new stadium with a view of downtown, walking distance from downtown, overlooking the river and the lake and the view of the skyline. And he's going to sell this for a metric poop ton of money. It just seems more and more like it. I mean, he's older, and this is his definition of winning. Not winning on the field. I don't think he cares so much about that. It's winning in business.
Yeah, I mean, winning in business is priority number one for him, always has.
And do you remember how much Jerry Reinsdorf paid for the White Sox?
Something really small. I know that. It was back in what, the early 80s?
He paid $19 million.
Wow.
And with this new stadium, he's probably going to get $2.3 billion-ish.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little more because of the location of the new stadium and the fact that you're in a big market.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big win. You took a $19 million investment. You reaped profit off of it every single year, except maybe the two COVID years. You reaped a profit for almost 40 years.
Well, wasn't there some years in the late 90s where they infamously just broke even?
Whenever
like after the white flag trade or whatever.
Here's what I say about baseball is open up those books. Baseball is notorious for having, it's like movie studios where they, oh, broke even. And they just, because they don't want to pay royalties to people on profit. Like NFL, it's competitive balance. You never hear about like the second set of books or funky. It is pretty open. Baseball, it is very, you know, open those books. I mean, the players' union is like, open those books, especially, you know, it's been said before, and especially during COVID, like, open those books and let us see what's going on here.
Yeah, the yellow
biblical losses. What does that mean?
They yell, open those books, and you see Tom Ricketts, like, just, he's got the big giant book in his hand, like, caressing it, running away. No, you'll never see it.
But, I mean, so, oh, they broke even. But, I don't believe that. And if you break even owning a professional sports team, it's, he's going to walk away. Where he's okay, we can agree that since he's bought it, he's made over $19 million in profit, correct?
Oh, God, yes, 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 okay. Yes. I mean, overall, in his entire tenure, he's definitely made a profit.
It's going to be in the billions. There's nothing for him to pay off. A sweetheart deal with the old stadium. And what is going to happen with the old stadium?
I don't know.
No,
I wonder. I really do wonder. I mean, because.
Not his problem.
Right. I just, what are you going to, what is going to, are you just going to tear it down?
I don't know.
Is it going to be repurposed for other sports like the Fire or something? I don't know.
That's a huge question. I want to know. I'd live in the city, and if any of my tax money is going towards this White Sox new stadium, I'm already pissed off about the money that they gave to the last one. Who is, what are you doing with that? And what money is going to this? But you've got Manfred involved and he seems optimistic, and Jerry's a mover and shaker in the business world still. And the new mayor seems amenable to something, and there must be some, you know, the new mayor, it seems like there must be something going on, because we'll get to this more with the Bears, but the Bears are now focused on a Chicago location, and the White Sox are you know, it's, we're getting really close to the 78 being a baseball location. What
yeah,
will suck is the traffic driving around there. Roosevelt Road is already miserable.
Yes, it is. Yes,
so,
it is.
Like, any time, day or night, it is miserable over there. So they'd better, as part of that, build the Red Line extension. And I know that was approved because whatever they were going to build at the 78 originally involved having an L stop there. And there needs to be one because the one before is in downtown, and the one after is in Chinatown. So there's not a stop right there. I used to work like literally across the street from the 78. Getting there by public transportation really sucked. So putting an L stop there, smart for the city, smart for, you know, or good for the baseball team, smart for the city.
The Jerry Express.
Yeah. And then you can still keep that Red Line feud with the Cubs. But yeah, I mean, so it seems like this is really pushing forward, and that's, it's big for the White Sox.
Yeah. I mean, it seems a lot more optimistic than Arlington Heights. That's for sure.
Yeah. Cubs. Crickets. Crickets. Crickets.
Well, we know the stuff is loaded to spring training, and they didn't show any pictures of Cody Bellinger stowed away on that.
Yeah, I mean, I still think it's going to happen. I wonder if it's a Blake Snell type situation where Boris is just standing firm on this ridiculous amount of money that he thinks that they deserve, and everybody sort of just walked away from it at this point. So now you're basically bidding against yourself. And I just wonder how long before somebody, it's a game of chicken at this point, I guess.
It is a game of chicken. It absolutely is a game of chicken. And it's at the point where I've just stopped paying attention to it. Like, whenever it happens, it's just whenever it happens. Because I know the chances of me waking up one day and seeing Cody Bellinger, I'm always telling myself today's not going to be that day because they're stuck playing chicken and there's nothing seemingly close.
Yeah, you know, I probably naively was saying or thinking that, you know, oh, we're close because it doesn't seem like there's any other suitors for Bellinger and it's a good fit. He liked it. I know he liked it. I know he would like to be back. But it's, if the Cubs aren't budging from what they're offering, you know, Boris is not budging, especially at this time. So I bet this might even go till the end of February.
It very well could. It could go into March.
You know, because as long as Bellinger, I mean, that's the issue, is you, if you're the Cubs, you want him in camp taking swings so he doesn't start off in Chicago looking flat.
Right.
But if you're Boris, doesn't matter. As long as he's got that contract in place.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, remember Arrieta? Didn't he not sign until March in 2018? I think it was.
Maybe. It was late.
It was very late.
So this could drag out. I still would be shocked if he went elsewhere, but
you never truly know.
You never know. Somebody could swoop in. I just think we're the Angels. Maybe.
Yeah, Art Moreno overpays him to compensate for losing Shohei Ohtani.
That's really the only spot I can think of that would have the ability to do it, or the
I
need.
Was worried for the Blue Jays for a while, but they've made a bunch of other moves.
Yeah, they've spent some money and they've filled some holes. I don't I don't think they're in it. The same with the
maybe,
Giants
but
have spent money and filled some holes. I think they're kind of done. The Phillies, no. Yankees already spent money and filled holes. So, I mean, a lot of these other teams just aren't spenders. So,
no. Like, I still feel like the chances are good he's going to come back to the Cubs. It's just a matter of when.
Yeah. I just want him to get spring training in, some amount of spring training.
Right. Yeah, me too.
Yeah, so, and then you've got, you've still got starting pitching out there. Blake Snell is standing firm, wanting, apparently they're throwing around the Steven Strasburg contract, which that's a bad comp because that every owner knows that was a terrible, terrible deal.
Yeah, just too bad. But injuries played a lot with that.
Right. But, I mean, you know, Blake Snell can hit some high highs, mm-hmm. but he can hit some mid-mids, too.
Yes, he can. Right. Strasburg was a better pitcher as a whole.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't think you're going to see Snell get the deal he wants either.
I don't think so.
So I mean, but there's still quite a few of decent MLB free agents left. This is getting wild because you're going to have pitchers and catchers reporting, and a lot of the top 15 free agents still available.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot that's left to be done here. And we're already in February. I mean, isn't there going to be come a time where the players are like, all right, this is getting ridiculous. I want to know where the hell I'm going.
So let's see. I'm looking at Bleacher Report. And what are they predicting here? Go through these. They got their remaining pitching or predictions. Blake Snell, they're predicting the Angels. Yeah, Blake Snell still available. Bellinger, they pick Cubs. Bellinger still available. Jordan Montgomery, they're predicting the Rangers, but he's still available. Matt Chapman, still available. They're predicting Giants for him. I'm curious of what I think he's going to end up taking a prove it deal.
Yeah, and I wouldn't say no to a prove it deal here if it's a prove it deal.
If you got a one or a one and one, I'm totally fine with Chapman. I don't want a long term deal with him.
I agree.
I just don't want that. JD Martinez, the Mets, they predict.
There hasn't been a lot of buzz about him.
No. I mean, he's older. What is he, like 36, 37?
Yeah, he's up there.
But and he had a good season last year.
Yeah, he was productive.
Mike Clevinger still available. Not surprising. They predict the Red Sox. Jorge Soler still available. They're predicting the Twins. Clayton Kershaw is still available. This one's a surpriser. Not so much. I mean, he wasn't great last year, but he wasn't bad.
Someone of his caliber and still what he can probably do would garner some interest unless he's just asking for a lot, but I don't know.
I mean, he had shoulder surgery in November. So
that's probably what it is.
That's maybe he doesn't go anywhere until mid-season. I mean,
it's hard with shoulder surgery too when you're as old as you are in that case. It's not like he's 24, 25. He's mid-30s, getting up there.
Michael Taylor's available. They expect the Pirates. Tim Anderson still available. They expect the Marlins.
There's been absolutely no buzz about Tim Anderson.
No. And I mean, that guy, everything, the whole house of cards just collapsed on that guy last year.
Which is crazy. Remember, like, it felt like just yesterday he was like a star in this game.
I mean, he was a star in this city, star in this game. And he, I mean, his marriage fell apart and he got beat up on the field. Lost all of the power, and he lost all of his credibility, and he had an abysmal season, and just, you know, he's not going to get a lot. Let's see. Tommy Pham is still available.
Don't even think about it.
No, I'm not saying. I'm just going through the guys that are available.
I know. I'm just saying, last show, you're like, hey, look, Tommy Pham's available for the Cubs. Hey, look at that.
Whit Merrifield for the Cubs. The Cubs finally asked the girl to the dance.
He's going to the White Sox. He's a Royal.
It's funny how many years that the Cubs were enticed by Whit Merrifield, and now he's just there, and they're just, nah.
Yeah.
We're good.
It was like Brian Roberts and Jake Peavy. You remember those days, right? The Brian Roberts days?
Yep. Michael Lorenzen still available. He's an interesting one.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a middle rotation kind of guy. It's, you're probably not overpaying him, and you're probably, I'm going to guess, 2 years, low 20s million. And you've got a guy that can start you, you know, 25, 26, 27 games. I mean, not saying the Cubs, but I'm just saying that there's worse guys to have on your rotation. He's not that old. Yeah, but Brandon Belt's still out there. Yeah, the list kind of drops off there, but there's still a decent number of guys that can help a team out, and just they're still there in early February. The Groundhog's already not seen a shadow, and these guys are still dangling out there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still making the assumption that the Cubs get Bellinger, but do you think they make any other moves, or do you think they wait and see what things look like at the beginning of spring training first?
I think they'll make some other moves, maybe some small ones. And I still feel like there's some sort of trade coming, whether it's a bat, whether it's a pitcher. I feel like there's some sort of trade coming here. And I also think too, there's going to be an element of, hey, let's see what some of these prospects can do in camp. I'm not saying it's what I fully agree with, but that's what I could see happening.
This, I don't know, maybe another bullpen arm. And Joey Votto is still out there.
No,
I'm not. I'm just. I'm just
okay.
Saying,
okay.
Why doesn't he retire?
I don't know.
He's tarnishing his legacy at this point.
I mean, last year was kind of the perfect year to go out. Like, the Reds were getting back to relevancy again. He's clearly done.
He is cooked.
He's clearly done.
He's 40 years old. He has made a lot of money. That is a guy that can transition to the booth because he's funny.
Oh, yeah, he's got a great personality. He should be in the media. He could go to the booth. He could be a content creator. He could do all sorts of things for MLB.
He could go to the Reds booth, and he could be there for as long as he wanted to be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's what he should do.
Like, I don't know why he just hasn't retired. It's silly at this point. Unless he's hoping that the Reds will sign him to another deal or something.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. Joey Votto. There's a time, man, I would have given my left arm to have Joey Votto.
Yep.
That's not 2024.
Yep. That's those days are long past.
Here's another White Sox move that could be out there. Colton Wong.
He's still available?
He's still available. I'm going to throw another name out there for the White Sox could go after. Randall Grichuk.
Oh, I could totally see that.
I could see both of those. Those are some White Sox moves.
Yep.
But yeah, the Cubs is very quiet.
Yep.
So where do you want to go from here?
Well, we can officially not have, as if we didn't already, we can officially just slam the door shut on this Bulls thing, right, with the news?
Yeah, so Bulls, I mean, obviously everybody's probably heard that Zach LaVine done for the year, having foot surgery. So obviously he's not getting traded. I just don't understand what AK's plan is.
I don't either.
I mean, here's the thing. You re-sign Zach because you didn't want to lose him for nothing. Okay, I get it.
Which I think was the right move.
Right. You re-signed
Vooch
because you didn't want to lose him for nothing.
Going in the wrong direction.
You were in the position where you're going to lose DeMar DeRozan for nothing. So trade DeMar DeRozan. Don't sign him to a new contract. I love DeMar DeRozan. DeMar DeRozan has been an absolutely fantastic basketball player. He has been very good for the Bulls. I do not want another contract for him. Is move him at the deadline. We've got Tuesday? Tuesday's the deadline. Tuesday. Move him. Trade him. Let him go to a contender. And you would have traded him and gotten something for him. You don't have to sign him to that new deal. And get something because you have to pick a direction.
Yeah, and you do.
I think at this point, it's just a whole lot easier to go down than go up.
Well, and I mean, here's the thing. If you're giving DeMar DeRozan a new contract, you realize he's just going to keep getting older.
Yeah.
I mean, he's in his mid-30s now.
So I just, it doesn't make any sense to me. Don't just keep, you made a run with this core. Don't keep doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result.
No, especially because it's going in the other direction. You had your initial run of making the playoffs and then, you know, getting beaten 5 senselessly by Milwaukee. And then you made the play-in tournament, lucked into a game, and then lost the second one. And now your ceiling is just making the play-in tournament again. And even if you do, and you for some miracle somehow make it past that play-in tournament, as of right now, you'd be playing Boston in the first round. Yeah, you're not winning anything there.
Yeah, it's stupid. It doesn't make any sense. And I mean, if you were to make trades and in the attempt to bottom out and start this rebuild, and you were able to maintain, play well enough to maintain, to stay in the hunt, in the play-in, I'm fine with that, because it would be nice to have your young players get a taste of playoff level basketball. I'm good with that. I don't need them to just bottom out to try to get into a lottery position and cross your fingers like that. You know, this is not a Victor Wembanyama situation where you're like, I'm just want to cash out and get a lottery ticket. There's nobody in here that just like blows me away. Is, you know, compete hard, play hard, but make these trades to put you in a position to hopefully build your team better going forward. I mean, I would do everything possible, because Zach is off the table. Can't trade him.
Nope.
Is DeMar, you can trade. Caruso, you can trade.
Yes.
I would trade both.
I would too.
I mean, I would think between the three, you could get, or those two, you could get three first rounders protected, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. That's, I mean, I know anything out of the top 10 in the NBA is you're lucky if you get anything. And the Bulls really haven't had a lot of luck in their drafting, but you know, just takes one guy to hit big to turn this around.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the more first rounders you get, so I would move both of those guys, and then next year reconfigure how you're building this team. I mean, you're stuck with Zach, and because nobody's trading for him in the offseason either, because he's coming off a surgery that they're going
to
see.
Right, he's going to have to recover. Which, how do they mismanage another injury?
I mean, now Pat Williams is injured. Dalen Terry is injured.
It's ridiculous.
You know, could somebody want to trade for Vooch? I doubt it.
Not getting anything for Vooch.
I think you're stuck with him, but I think this is DeMar and Caruso. I think you can get something for both of those guys. And that just seems the right move. I don't know why you wouldn't.
Yeah. I mean, there's my emotional and time invest in this current team is so low right now.
I mean, I saw the news later than of a lot of folks. And when I saw it, I was like, yeah, all right, there we go. Great.
Yeah, I saw it pop on my phone. I'm just like, oh, yikes.
So it is what it is. And my hope goes back to, did I hope that they would trade Zach? No. You know, it's this marriage has been poor.
Yeah, you're not going anywhere with this.
And I don't know what the solution is. You know, do you go, well, we know that we're stuck with Zach for a while. Do we change coaching staffs and try to do something that's going to fit our talent better than what the system we have now is?
Man, it's just the same cycle over and over. How many rebuilds, how many changing of coaches? It's incredible. I mean, since Thibodeau left in what, 2015, 2016?
Mm-hmm.
You went through Hoiberg, then Jim Boylan. Ugh. And now, I mean, I love the Billy Donovan hire when it first happened, but, and I can't blame everything on Billy Donovan, obviously, but.
I remember Thunder fans when we signed him. They were like, great coach. There's a reason that he was fired.
Yeah.
And I think that's where we're at. Like, I don't deny he's a good coach. It's just there's he is not getting the most out of the players.
No, and I also think that it's a combination of him not getting the most and just not always having the right personnel in place.
I mean, this is a multifaceted problem. Is I don't think AK has done a very good job of bringing in talent.
No, I don't either. The drafting has been abysmal.
Yeah. And I don't think Billy has done the best with the talent that's available. And the players just haven't done a good job of trying to mesh as a team. Guys aren't developing. No. Guys aren't. It's a bunch. It is like a bunch of street ball players playing on the court. You're not a cohesive team.
I mean, the nice thing is Coby White is one of the few good stories. His positive development is something that we can look at and say, okay, this is good. But look at Patrick Williams. I mean, overall has been a massive disappointment. Massive, massive disappointment. Dalen Terry is literally between the United Center and a bus out to the Dundee area for the Windy City Bulls every other few days. You know, you're just not getting anything out of that. And, you know, you identified Vooch, and I remember when that trade went down, that looked like a big move. And, you know, Vooch has had his moments. He's, you know, last year he was overall pretty good, but more like 2 years ago, but there's been a lot of frustration with him, and now he just looks cooked. It's like, I mean, DeMar has been his best move, right?
Oh, absolutely. Hands down.
And maybe Alex Caruso following that. I mean, that was a good find. That was a good get. I think Lonzo Ball on the court is a great get, but he also is injured to the point where he might not play again.
Yeah.
But, you know, you did what you had to do to give the max contract to LaVine. You had to make that move. And since that, it's been a roller coaster. It hasn't been the consistent result that you've wanted to get out of a guy you gave a max contract to, a guy who was an all-star. The Vooch trade, like I said, it's been overall disappointing. Patrick Williams has been a letdown. Dalen Terry hasn't really been a factor. I mean, Andre Drummond's been fine off the bench, I think, overall. And then you just got some guys out there. I don't really know what else to say. Like, there's nothing that can be really said about this team. They're just directionless. They're just bobbing in the middle of an ocean with a massive leaks in their hull. And you're just kind of putting in corks to somewhat keep it afloat, but you're not going anywhere.
I hate rebuilding, but I don't see a path forward.
And it sucks.
It's this draft class is not looking awesome.
No.
And the free agent market is not looking good. And you have nothing to trade. So how are you getting better? It would seem to me that this would be the time to just tear it down. And hopefully, and I know we keep saying this, it's like, oh, well, then we'll have the money when this big free agent class comes, and then we don't get any of those free agents and we don't get any of the big draft prospects.
What do we say? What do we hear all the time about the Bulls? Oh, they're in on this guy. Oh, they want to trade for this guy.
Let me
we all
ask
know
you,
how it ends.
Who was the last Bulls big free agent, like their big target that they wanted and they went after and got?
I mean, do you count DeMar DeRozan?
I don't know. I don't think so. Carlos Boozer was the afterthought.
Compensation for LeBron.
Yeah. So,
Pau Gasol was a nice get.
It just this team is not known for going and getting that guy. I mean, we drafted Jordan and Pippen.
Is the biggest free agent signing the Dennis Rodman?
Probably.
Do you remember? Was it 2014? You remember the sweepstakes for? Oh, who was it? Am I drawing a blank? Why am I drawing a blank?
Tracy McGrady?
No.
What year was this?
Like 2014, 2013, 2014, maybe 15. Why am I drawing a blank? Oh, Melo. It was for Carmelo Anthony.
Okay.
You remember that?
Yeah.
And like the Bulls were like hardcore in on it.
Mm-hmm.
And he went back to the Knicks.
You're just not drawing the guys. There's no draw here. It's a bummer. And you know, you can change that. It's just you've got to be relevant. The Bulls are not a relevant basketball team.
And they should be. Your brand, because of Michael Jordan, has made you, like, you know, a worldwide recognizable brand. And you play in the third largest market in the country. And the United Center is filled night after night. And yet here we are.
Yep. It's disappointing.
And there is no path to this team being relevant anytime soon.
No, none. Zero. Zero.
The only time they were relevant post-Jordan is when you lucked into the minute chances to win the lottery to get Derrick Rose. If you don't win that lottery, you have zero Eastern Conference appearances since Jordan.
And that was luck to get him, and it was awful luck what happened to him.
It was almost like a payoff. It's like, okay, well, guess what? It's going to even out. It sucks.
Yep. Blackhawks, it's all-star break. Meh.
Bedard was at least in Toronto, so it was good to see him there. But
yeah, he was there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's wrap this up with some Bears. So I guess the biggest news is the scuttlebutt of Colin Cowherd. And so Colin Cowherd basically said that Caleb Williams is not interested in coming to the Bears.
Caleb Williams is not interested in coming to the Bears.
And then he turned around and did a moonwalk like he was Michael Jackson the next day. He's like, well, this camp said that's not true. So
he said his camp said they don't want that out there.
Okay, fair. What if it's true, though? I think it's stupid because, like, you know, we'd rather go to the Commanders. I don't think they're in any better position. The Patriots knows what's going on over there. Where is he really want to fall out of the top five? Or is he hoping somebody that's good, just missing a quarterback, comes and trades up for him?
I don't know for sure. I don't know for sure.
Is he hoping like the 49ers are like, you know what? We get Caleb Williams. I just don't understand what. So I'm not going to buy the he's not coming to Chicago. He's not interested. There's 32 teams and there's a lot of them have established quarterbacks. They're not going to the 49ers. I hate to break it to anybody. They're not getting Caleb Williams because they do not have the ammunition to go from the 31st or the 32nd pick to number one. They just don't have that ammunition.
They could give us three first rounders in George Kittle.
I don't think that's enough.
Okay.
Three first, three first, 3 seconds, and Debo. Okay, then, you know, maybe.
Party hard.
But you know those first round draft picks are going to be almost second round draft picks.
Right.
I mean, that's the part of the thing is, you know, it's not all first round draft picks are the same.
No, they're not.
You know, last year it was smart. There was, I'm sure there were other teams that were interested in trading to number one, but Carolina, I think everybody outside of Carolina had a good feeling that that was going to be a top 10 pick.
Oh yeah, we all did. Little do we know, would it also be the first overall pick?
Right. So, you have to factor that in if you're the Bears and you're going to be willing to trade out of it is it's not just, oh, three first round picks. That's awesome. Is you want them to be good first round picks.
Right.
To maximize what you get. So, I'm not having this debate anymore about.
I'm
tired of it. I just wanted to talk about the story that came out, and I just, you know, is could he in his camp said, "Oh man, that history in Chicago of quarterbacks is bad." Yeah, that's fair. But to just be like, "No, not interested." That's some bad juju, and it doesn't really matter.
Bad voodoo mama juju.
Like, here's the thing. If what's he going to do? Sit out if the Bears draft him?
Yeah, maybe it's not his preferred place, but if he gets drafted, is he going to say no, not work hard? I don't know.
Yeah, no, he's going to sign. He's going to do what he needs to do. And that's just a matter of things, regardless of if he likes it or not.
Right.
I guess the other things are the Bears rounded out some of their coaching positions. They brought in Chad Morton as the running backs coach, Chris Beatty as the wide receivers coach, and Jason Hodling as their assistant offensive line coach. So I don't know a lot about these guys, but I keep hearing people saying that this is an all-star offensive coordinator. I mean, sorry, offensive coaching staff. I don't know if I go in that Kool-Aid
whatever
into
they
that.
Say. So you're not filling up the pitcher.
I'm going to be cautiously optimistic. I jumped in both feet when they were like, oh, they're bringing Luke Getsy. And I'm like, oh, he's coming from Green Bay and he's going to bring this new modern offense. Stupid Matt Nagy. And I jumped in both feet. I'm not doing that again.
You ripped off the pack of sugar and you just dumped the whole thing into the pitcher before you even put the water Kool-Aid mix in.
I was drinking lick-a-stick powder and washing it down with the Kool-Aid. And I'm not doing that. I do like the Shane Waldron hiring, and the nice thing is the staff he's building are they're actually guys that have done those jobs. Like their wide receivers coach, it's not a promotion. He's been a wide receiver coach. Their assistant offensive line coach was an offensive line coach. Their running back coach was a running back coach. Shane Waldron has been an offensive coordinator. It's guys that are going into positions that they've already done. It's not new step up, which is important to me. They know where things can go right and wrong. And they've had time to reflect on things that they've done in that position. You know, hey, where have I done right and wrong in the past doing this job? So it's not learning on the fly. That's important to me.
Yeah, for sure.
They brought in Thomas Brown, who they actually interviewed as offensive coordinator. He's going to be coming to the Bears. And so you've got another guy who you thought highly enough of to interview for your offensive coordinator position, and you're going to bring him here as an assistant to your offensive coordinator.
So he's Dwight.
Assistant to the regional manager. So I'm not unhappy with what they've done. And Ian Cunningham is not going anywhere because all of the GM positions are full. So he's back with the Bears, which is another mind to stay in the front office. So as much as I didn't think that the flu should be back, everything else is shaping up okay.
Yeah, we'll see.
On paper.
We've played this game before.
So the I guess the only other Bears things I have are the rumors are that they're gonna slap Jalen Johnson with the franchise tag. I'm hoping that means that they're just using it as a tool to give them more time to work out a deal.
Hey, did you see his defense won the NFC the Pro Bowl today?
You know, until about an hour or 2 hours ago, I forgot that the Pro Bowl was today. That's how little I care about the Pro
Bowl. I forgot about it until after the game was over.
Yeah, like I was getting ready to set up my computer to send you the invite for this podcast, and I was like, oh, hey, look. So yeah,
I mean, I forgot about the Pro Bowl, and I forgot about the NHL All-Star game because Bedard wasn't in it. So it's like, why do I?
Yeah. So Jalen Johnson will be with the Bears next year. Hopefully it's longer, but, Luke Getsy is the new offensive coordinator for the Las Vegas Raiders.
If that offense hums, I swear we're going to need to take some voodoo stuff to Hallis Hall.
So here's where I'm trying to do the math on this, and I would love your help on this.
Okay.
So the Bears organization felt that a lot of these issues with their offense was Luke Getsy's fault.
Mm-hmm.
Because they let him go. And I don't know what this means for Justin Fields, but they clearly felt that Luke Getsy was part of the problem. Now you have the Raiders who went through evaluations, and it seems based on their decision that they felt that Justin Fields is the problem and not Luke Getsy. So I would love to know. I would be willing to bet that if you pulled 32 GMs in this league, you're going to be as split as the Bears fan base on Justin Fields.
Probably.
It's just wild to me that they're going to ride with, I mean, who's their starting quarterback next year? Is Jimmy G under contract still?
I think so.
So Jimmy G and Luke Getsy, that's going to be the savior of that. Cause I've heard a lot of people talking about that the Raiders could be a potential trade target if the Bears do go with Caleb Williams for trading Justin Fields. And I think this probably takes that off the table, right?
Yeah. Then again, the Raiders usually operate the opposite of how we think they're going to operate.
It's true. How funny would that be? Luke Getsy gets his job and he's like, oh, thank goodness. And then they're like, oh, hey, here's Justin Fields again. We got
Hey,
look,
hey, hey.
Will, we're gonna put our dynamic duo back together.
They both look at each other like, oh no.
God, that's just May can't happen fast enough. I just want to know what's happening. Just
yeah,
I don't care anymore.
I don't either. I'm muting it on all social media platforms. I'm done.
I'm at the point where just tell me who I'm rooting for.
Right.
I'm rooting for the Bears. Who's lining up under center?
Right.
That's all I care about at this point. So just you know, if they're going to trade that for number one overall pick, hopefully it's early, super duper early, so I could just relax. But I think this is all just going on until it'll be midway through the first round before we're confident we know what's going on.
Absolutely. I miss last year where everybody and their mother knew they were trading that pick. It was just a matter of who.
Yep. God, such a disaster dumpster fire.
So sick of it.
And, you know, I know the two of us don't agree on the future home of the Chicago Bears, where it'll be located. And you're firmly entrenched in the Arlington Heights camp. And
that's where I want them to go. But
I am in the, I think we both want a state of the art facility.
Yes.
I want a dome. I want all the bells and whistles. I don't want any corners cut, any pennies pinched. I want this to be just when you walk into this, you go, wow. And like the stadium that the Rams play in, when every announcer gushes about it. I want
yes.
that. I
yes.
want that. I don't want when they're like, oh, we're coming to historic Soldier Field. Oh, I'm going to eat some good food in the city. Hey, what about the
yeah.
stadium? It's a dump.
Yep.
But I would love it in the city. I don't want it in Arlington Heights, but I do see the appeal because it's a blank slate of how many acres you can just do whatever you want. There's no limitations there.
Exactly.
Space.
Exactly.
You're going to be limited there, but I just want something awesome done. And I
doubt it's going to happen now.
It does not seem like that Arlington Heights location is going to work.
They're so far off.
They're so far apart. They're like $100 million apart. And it's contentious at this point. Like there's lawyers and it's contentious. Like that's not the way you want to start that off.
No.
And, you know, in the city, you've got an agreeable partnership with the mayor. And it seems like you're trying to work that out. But the concern I have is, do you remember what was supposed to be on the lakefront in opening in a few months or, you know, a year?
On the lakefront?
Mm-hmm. The Star Wars Museum.
Oh.
But the group that the Friends of the Lakeshore or whatever fought that tooth and nail and got that blocked. So what are they going to block? Whatever the Bears are trying to do in the South Lot?
I don't know.
I don't know what that entails. That's my fear.
Yeah. It's never easy. It can never go right. It can never go smooth with this team. Never.
And I don't like the direction that it's happening.
I don't either. look how quick this White Sox thing is coming together. I know it's nothing's official yet, but I feel much more confident about the Sox getting a new stadium, something that was announced like, what, 2-3 weeks ago? We've been on this Arlington Heights thing for multiple years now.
Yep. We've been on this, and it's farther. We are further away from a new stadium than we were a year and a half ago.
Right. Yep.
And it's frustrating. And, you know, I know everybody's been like, oh, Kevin Warren, he's the savior. He's the genius. He's seeming more like a general contractor. And I'm less and less confident about what he's bringing.
I had so much freaking hope for that guy. So much hope. And it's been really, it hasn't been very long. So I don't want to say it's been a complete bust. We'll see how things turn out. But I was hoping we'd be further down by now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, I just don't like the direction things are heading. And is that to say that it won't, turn around? Like, could a new stadium with all the bells and whistles still be coming? Sure. Not denying that. It's just, I'm less and less optimistic.
Yep, I feel you.
So it's just it's just a bummer. And I just want to feel good about the football team that I love.
Yeah, and I never get that chance to.
No, you haven't in most, you know, all your life. I've at least got it when I was a little kid. I got a hot minute of it.
The most I got was on this night when Devin Hester returned the kick and I thought we were going to win, and then, ha, no.
Yeah. That day, when that happened, I was so sure we were winning our second Super Bowl. I was so sure. I'm like, once he returned that, I'm like, this is it. This is
Team of Destiny.
And
can't take it anymore.
Nope. Was there anything else you want to talk about?
Nope. I think I've said my piece.
I think that's going to do it for this episode of Bill Swirsky Sports Talk Chicago. I want to thank everybody so much for listening. Please hit subscribe however you listen to podcasts, whether it's iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, Google Play, Spotify, etc. Share this podcast with your friends, help grow the show. Follow us on social media at Swirsky Sports, facebook.com/SwirskySports, SwirskySports.com, or ShyFanPat2 for Alex on Twitter/X, or AlexanderJPatCreative.com for all the cool stuff that Alex does. And again, thank you guys so much for listening. And until next time, bear down.
Cubs win! What a lucky break! The good Lord wants the Cubs to win!
We thank Ditka and God for all they have provided.
Cubs win! Cubs win! Cubs win!
Oh, I don't want her. You can have her. She's a Packer fan. She can't fit in my van.
And she looks like...
Remember, New Yorkers, smoking crack is not legal on the plains.
Bears, 31 to -7.
The Bears.
Oh, when the Bears go berry.